world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friend in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in him. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service.
This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 30. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 30.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 30 reads this way. It says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together in your house, in your church, and Lord, with your people this morning, and then knowing again, Lord, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. What a privilege, Lord, you've given to us. We ask for the blessing of the filling of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives drawn closer to you and souls saved. So bless your word, bless your people this morning, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Who Touched Me?" Who touched me? And listen, that's a question that the Lord asks. And anytime the Lord asks a question, it's important, isn't it? It's not something that we should question. When he asks a question, we should kind of figure out, where is the Lord coming from in this? Because he is trying to communicate an important truth into our lives. And sometimes if we're preoccupied with other things, or if we're not in tune on the same page with the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll completely misunderstand what he's trying to do and what he's trying to say. As we consider this right here, what was the Lord's question? The Lord's disciple says, "You asked, who touched me?" We can get off on this little tangent here. And really his question was, "Who touched my clothes?" Right? That's what he said. "Who touched my clothes?" But really, both of them, it was not the focal point of what the Lord was trying to do. The Lord's work was trying to get his disciples and everybody who was around him on the same page, in the same place, in the heart of God, understanding what he was doing and the work that he was wanting to do. And here's the work of God, ready? To build faith in our lives. Amen? Beginning with the unbeliever, the very first thing he wants to do is for them to understand that they can put their faith, they can put their trust, same thing, their faith or their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. That's salvation in a nutshell. Let me just say this. That is the salvation of God Almighty, that he sent forth his Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood, that we might receive him as our personal Savior by doing this, ready? not by turning over a new leaf, but by repenting and realizing the error of our way, and by faith and trust, putting our faith and trust in the Lord and what He did for us to give us eternal life. That's where the difference is made. That's where it all begins. And until that happens, the individual is lost and undone. And it doesn't matter how much you go to church. It doesn't matter how much you pray. Question, did you ever pray as a lost person? I did. I prayed as a lost person. Oh, Lord, help in this area. Oh, Lord, help. I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my prayers weren't really being answered until I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so listen, it's not our church attendance, but our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. That's so important because there are people doing all kinds of crazy things today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He said, I will build my what? Oh, really? I'll build my church. So is the church important to the Lord Jesus Christ? And the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which is a called out assembly. And so let me ask you this. What do you think about the Lord's church? Well, of course, it's His bride. But what about your part in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? How important is that to you? And what's my part? Well, my part is to be a peculiar people, if you will. Our part is to be a royal priesthood. Isn't that what the Lord said through His word? We're to be a royal priesthood. And how does that take place? Well, by me doing what I think I ought to do, or by what the word of God has called me to do. See, listen, we must have a relationship, a working relationship with the written word of God. Is that important? We might listen, be careful that you don't just go off of what people are saying and what people are doing about church, but be careful to understand the written word of God. But wait a minute, I dare say even more important than the written word of God is the living word of God. See, you might have an understanding of the written word, and you could miss the living word, which is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so that's what God really wants us to understand in our relationship with Him, no matter where we're at, as an individual who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, or as a person who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ maybe many years ago. Our relationship needs to be not on what we think or how we feel, but what the written and the living Word of God is guiding in our lives through His Holy Spirit. That's what's really important. So, the Lord's desire here really is to build the faith of His disciples, beginning with salvation. Is that the truth? He wants to build our faith. Does He want us to have more faith, the same faith, or a weak faith? I did that backwards. He wants us to have a strong faith, right? He doesn't want us to have a weak faith. He definitely doesn't want us to have no faith. He does want us to have a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that faith comes from the Lord Himself. That faith comes by the work that He's doing in our lives as we call upon Him to do His work in our lives. If we're, listen carefully here. If we are not calling God to do His work, not our work, not what we think, if we're not calling on the Lord to do His work in our lives, we won't see God working in our lives. Not the way He wants to. And so therefore, we won't have anything to praise. We won't have any excitement in our life. We won't be able to say, oh Lord, how wonderful are Your works toward me. Amen? And what You're doing in my own personal life. All right, so let's consider this here and be reminded it is God's desire to build the faith in unbelievers, right, to begin that work. And it's also the desire of the Lord to build our faith for the redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ to a greater extent, to a greater degree. And you're going to see that here working in just a moment. So the Lord was pointing His disciples to faith or trust that He wanted them to have in Himself. So let's consider, I'm not going to go through the points right here, just want to cover this very quickly. Let's back up to verse 21 here in Mark chapter 5. And I want you to see one of the rulers of the synagogue. And by the way, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you will know that the religious leaders of that day were not favorable concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, this particular individual was in a dire need. and a dire need. I mean, he had such a need that to him, you know what he was willing to do? He was willing to throw out everything he thought and everything he was taught to seek out Jesus. You know, that's a good place to be, that we might not stick to our own ideas. And by the way, a lot of times if they're our ideas and not in the Word of God, who's wrong? We're the ones that are wrong. And so this man was an individual whose religious group was not in right standing with God Almighty. They were rejecting him. So look at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, listen to this, much people gathered unto him. Why is that? Well, he was God Almighty in the flesh, right? And God has a way of drawing people. Listen, that we can't do that. The Lord is the one that draws people to himself. Now, here's the good news. He wants to use all of his people to draw them unto himself. But we have to be spirit-led. We can't have good ideas. We'll do the wrong thing. We'll do the wrong thing. I was reminded, a fellow was telling me about how he was witnessing to this person, how it took him a long time, and this person was kind of very closed to the gospel, and this individual had kind of won him over to listen to the gospel, and he'd been working with him, he'd literally physically been doing some work with him, right? And he was trying to help him understand that, listen, what's going to happen to you after this life? That's what's important, even more important than church. Because you can think church is important, and if you miss Jesus Christ and if you miss salvation, you've missed it all. Right. It doesn't matter. And so he's working with this individual, trying to get him connected to God and not have these preconceived ideas about going to church and keeping the Ten Commandments and all the things that are natural to the flesh. And then all of a sudden he says, I was so close. And this other believer that was saved longer came up and said, hey, listen, I hear what you're talking about. You know, you got to, and he just laid down the law. You're no good, lousy sinner. And all the work that he was doing, he basically just shut him up. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that older believer was genuine in what he meant? I think he was. But see, what happened was he wasn't sensitive, first of all, to the work and the conversation that this other believer was doing and God was doing in this relationship that was just started. The other one just said, well, I heard a little bit about salvation. Let me just tell you what it's all about. And he totally just blew up the whole thing. How many times can we just blow up what God is trying to do because we're leaning on what we think and what we should do instead of saying, God, I need to hear, what are you doing, Lord? I don't know. Hey, listen, that requires humility. Lord, I don't know it all. In fact, the older I get, the more about the Lord I realize I've got to say, God, I need you. All right, so notice what happens here. Here's this man that was a ruler in the synagogue. In fact, verse 22 says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Wow, that's important. Look, notice what's going on. At verse 23, and besought him greatly. Did this man want to see the Lord Jesus Christ? And it wasn't because anybody was preaching to him about salvation. It's because he had a personal need in his life. And notice what's going on right here. He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. That'll make you forget about everything that's going on. That'll make you forget about who's running for president. That'll make you forget about where the stock market is at. That'll make you forget about what you owe, what you don't owe. When there's a loved one on the line, everything's out the door. I pray thee, come, listen to this, and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. This is a ruler of the synagogue. And I want you to know, listen, that was a work of God. Nobody but God can give a man that kind of faith. That was the work of God taking place in his life because this particular individual was taught to reject who Jesus was. They were not favorable upon him. But listen, at that particular point, he didn't care what he had learned. He had something at a greater need and a greater stake, at stake, if you will, in his life. You know, when God gets our attention, we are undone before Him. And He shows us that, boy, oh boy, listen, it doesn't matter what you have on this side of eternity. Without eternal life, you'll have nothing for all eternity. Wow, that's powerful. So what's really important? How I stand on this side of eternity by myself, or how I stand on this side of eternity and in the life to come according to the eyes of God? So notice what's going on. He says, I want you to lay hands on my daughter. And he's got the faith to believe, God gave him that faith, that she'll recover. And Jesus went with him, there in verse 24. And much people followed him and thronged him. Now, is God in control even in this? Amen. Isn't that something? God is in control. You know, when things don't go our way, God is still in control. Amen. When things don't go the way that we think they should go, God is still in control. And I want you to know, God is very merciful and long-suffering and kind, is he not? By the way, to us, he's very patient and very kind and very long-suffering. I think, Lord, I don't know how you have been so patient and so kind with me. I'm glad you're a merciful God, because I think he should have been done with me maybe a long time ago. You ever think that about yourself? You should. If you have the right idea of Almighty God and His righteousness, and realize how long we have tried Him and provoked Him in our unbelief in what we think, you might want to consider that. Humility is a good thing for the child of God. Lord, if it wasn't for your mercy, can you say that this morning? You'd have been finished with me a long time ago. Or are we like that Pharisee? Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this publican over here. You know what I do? Oh my goodness. The Lord say, you know who went away justified? Not the Pharisee. Notice, and Jesus went with him in verse 24, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now notice this. Imagine what Jairus was thinking when this woman comes into the picture. Because that stopped the Lord Jesus Christ from going to go help. Now, I want you to see something. Listen, our mind is not the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Our mind, unless it's in the Word of God, our mind is nothing like God's mind. Amen. Our thoughts are nothing like God's thoughts. We bring God down to that level. Naturally speaking, we miss this. But God's thoughts are greater than ours. And listen, I want to yield my thoughts to God's thoughts every time. Every time I want to yield my thoughts to the Lord's thoughts. So we're going to see Jairus' mind here. We're going to see this woman's mind. And we're going to see the disciples and everybody else who's around. So, verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, a lot of doctors, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She's in a plight. She didn't get better. She got worse and spent everything she had. So she's really in a bad way. Is God concerned about this woman? Yes. Absolutely he is. So notice what happens here. Verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Why did she do that? For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You remember what the Lord said? Who touched my clothes. Did the Lord know what she did? Yeah, he knew what she did, didn't he? And so this is good, because the disciples are there getting all of this, are getting it firsthand, and they're missing it. And by the way, is it possible for you and I to miss what God is wanting to do? Let me try that again. Is it possible for you and I to miss what God is trying to do? It is possible. You know what that's called? Humility. That's what's called him. Oh, no, listen, I know it. Listen, this is how it works. Really? We're going to tell God how it works. When God can change his direction like that. And here's what's going on. Ready? Yeah, I know which way to go. And the Lord just done. He's already made a left turn. Yeah, I know God. I know which way to go. And God's just gone every which way. You heard about the missionaries and the pastors had gotten around this child of God that was dying, who was on his deathbed. And you know, there's a time and a season for everything. And so they decided to have a word of prayer for this man and his family. And they were praying. This one fellow was praying. And then praying. And then praying. And then praying on this guy's deathbed. This guy's preaching a sermon. And he's praying for the missionaries in China. And he's praying for the missionaries in Africa. And he's praying for all these things when they got a man dying, getting ready to leave this life. And finally, when he stopped praying, he was gone. And they said, What happened? When did he die? Oh, when you were over in China somewhere. See, God's in one direction, and if we're not careful, because we know how it works, we'll miss the Lord and what he's trying to do. And so notice what's going on over here. Now we're dealing with the certain woman and the Lord's disciples. And so she said, hey, listen, if I could just touch his garments, I'll be healed. And verse 29 says, and straightway, listen to this, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Now, how did she get that? Listen, that was not her idea. That was God moving and working in her life to give her that kind of faith. And it lined up with what the Lord was doing. But I want you to know, listen, Jairus and this woman were on track with the Lord, and the disciples were right there with him and missed it completely. But I also want you to know this, the Lord was not done with his disciples. Even when they missed it, and even when they messed up, God was still working with them. Amen. And he's still working with you and I as well. And so, she said, if I may just, verse 28, but touch his clothes, I may be made whole. And verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So she's done. She got what she was after. But no, she's not done. She's not done. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, verse 30, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know what they're saying? That's a ridiculous question. You just asked a... Listen to what they're saying. You see what's going on. Here's what the truth is. They didn't see what Jesus was doing. They should have said something like, Lord, I don't understand. Can you help me understand what you're asking? Because I don't understand. But they just jumped the boat and they just got out of the boat. They didn't even realize. And they were saying, look, Lord, you see the situation and you are asking us that question? You know what they're saying? That's a ridiculous question. That's unreasonable. How can you ask an unreasonable? Does God ever do anything that's wrong? But wait. He may do things and does do things that are unreasonable to our human thinking. You know why? Because God's thoughts are not ours. How much higher are God's thoughts than ours? Does that mean in everyday life, or does that just mean in what we think? Yeah, God knows more about his return. I don't know that much about. No, how about everyday living, everyday life? See, we need to bring it down. If we're not careful, we just say, yeah, God's thoughts are much higher in what life and what the Bible's all about, but I can handle life by myself. I know what I need to do here on earth. In fact, I know what I'm going to do. And we can miss the Lord. You know, I don't know if I should tell you this. You may not know this. But the human nature is stubborn. Stubborn, yeah. Yeah. You, have you ever just been done? You ever just been done? I might be there in person. I'm not listening. See, that. What is that? What would that be? What would you call that? Pride. Pride. Hard-headed pride. Hard-headed pride. Is that the way God wants us to walk? Lord, I need you. Listen, I've told you this before, and I think you can agree with me. We are all just one step, spiritually speaking, from falling flat on our faces. Aren't you glad, I am, that God is so merciful? You know, I have taken those steps. I did say steps, didn't I? I didn't say I've taken that step. I have done that, and God showed me His mercy and His grace. And you know, it just causes me to see His awesomeness, magnificence, just His love, His kind. And you know, that just causes me to say, more of You, God. I can trust You, Lord. I want to be yielded to You. So, the Lord knew. The disciples didn't think so. But notice verse 32. And He looked round about to see her that had done... To see who? Oh, He knew it was a her? Isn't that amazing? And the disciples said, you're asking me who? Jesus is saying, it was a her. Just want you to know. You didn't know. But the Lord knew. The disciples were there asking, you're asking, and He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Now notice what the woman knows. But the woman, verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Isn't that amazing? And stop and think about this. This woman did not just get a blessing and leave. Could you do that? I think the Spirit of God would arrest us. She knew what was done. See? Listen, here's what the world doesn't know. When somebody gets saved, they have met with God. You believe that? They have met with the Spirit of God. And the idea is just to praise God. You've made me whole. You've made me whole. My sister, I don't remember her name. This has been, since I've been here, about seven or eight years ago, my sister called me and said, one of my friends, I don't know how to do it, but she's really seeking the Lord. Would you talk to her? And Josiah was right there listening to the whole, I had her on speakerphone. I didn't know how far this was going to go. And so she understood. I went through the plan of salvation. The Lord had already done His work. And she trusted the Lord as her Savior right there. And I was so glad my son was there listening. And she was praising the Lord. And I don't remember her exact words, but she was glorifying the Lord. She was taken by what God had just done for her. And so I couldn't wait to get off the phone because I was inside doing cartwheels and praising God. And I had to get off the phone and tell my sister, her friend just got saved. And so I told her, ever have any questions? You know, here's my number. And so the bottom line was I got off the phone and I called my sister and told her. And she said, oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. And my sister said, I got to go talk to her. I said, okay, bye. I hung up, and about a minute or two later, she calls me back. I said, well, that was a short conversation. And she told me, can I call you back in about 30 minutes or so? I'm still taking this in. God put her in a place that only God can do. See, God brought her to a place of worship and thankfulness. See, can you and I do that? No, but listen, and I'm not against doing things, but we'll miss the Lord in the midst of doing things. We can miss God. We better call upon the Lord to do His thing. Instead of us just doing things. We'll just do this and we'll just do that. And we'll just, you know, and we'll miss the Lord. Oh, yeah, where are you at? Well, we're right over here, Lord. Where are you? We'll miss God. Because we got all these grandiose ideas. And God says, you know how long ago I planned the church? Before we ever came about. I'm talking about creation. In eternity past, before he ever spoke the world into existence, did he not know we would fall? Did he not plan in eternity past his son coming to pay for our sins? Absolutely, he did. So notice, the woman fearing, verse 33, and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, notice this. She came trembling and fearing. I think this was the right kind of fear. I don't think this was like she did something wrong. I know this. Ready? She was in the presence of God Almighty. She knew that only God could do this. She'd already been to everybody else. And so she falls down and tells him all the truth in verse 33. And look what the Lord does. And said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The disciples heard that too. Here's one thing. Listen. Did the disciples, remember? Lord, the press, he was in a press. They were thronging him. And the disciples said, and you going to ask us? That's an unreasonable question. Now listen, did the disciples ever expect to see the person? They didn't know it was a woman. Did the disciples ever expect to see the woman that touched him? No. They didn't. They said, that's an impossibility. Did God just do the impossible in front of the disciples? He just did the impossible right in front of them. And did what God show them glorify his name? Amen. See, God wants to show us what will glorify his name. But here's the key. We can't be full of self. We've got to be empty of self. See, the disciples were full of self and they were saying, Lord, you're not reasonable. You're never going to find this woman. But he found him. He found her. And then notice, verse 35. Now again, let's not forget about Jairus. There he is. Does he still have a concern? And what was going through his mind? Let's go. She's going to die. And so, verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is what? All hope is gone. It's gone. But wait a minute. Was the Lord not on his way? Yeah, the Lord was on his way. See, listen, the servants of the ruler's house, they said, hey, she's done. See, it's not done till God says it's done. And so They said, thy daughter is dead, verse 35. Listen, why troublest thou the master any further? Did they have any hope? None at all. Listen, Jesus is in the hope-building business. Amen. Call it hope, call it faith, call it trust. He is in the hope-building business. Amen. But you've got to want it. You've got to want it. The disciples, I think, wanted it. The woman wanted it. Question, did Jairus want it? Did he want this hope? Did he say it? So notice now, listen. They come to him, and does Jesus know what's going on in Jairus' life? Man, this is good. Watch this. So verse 35, they say to him, your daughter's dead. Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Listen. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. See, Jesus knows he's got the right timing. He didn't let him founder on that heavy disappointment, on that heavy truth. Because God is the resurrection, amen? And so as soon as he heard that the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not what? See, love casts out all fear. Be not afraid, only what? Trust. Put your faith where? In Jesus, amen? In him. Where's our faith this morning? Is it in the news? Sad place. Is it in this world? Still a sad place. There's only one place that drives out all fear, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, very quickly here, so only believe. Verse 37, now watch, listen. He's blessed this woman that had this issue of blood. He's wanting to bless Jairus, is he not? We know the rest of the story. So he's wanting to bless her. But wait a minute, listen, he's still working with the disciples. He's still working in our lives. I dare say, we're not told, the disciples said, you know, they all, this is an outrage. Why? We don't know who she is. But and Peter, he's kind of outspoken. I dare say he's probably in the mix, all right? But he's not done with them. And so, verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, verse 38, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. This was a sad occasion. They're all there. A tumult, that's a lot of people. And so what does the Lord do? And when he was come in, he comes into his house, verse 39, saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now listen, you've got the disciples there, and you have Jairus there, and you have this group. What do you think the disciples thought? We'll never know, but you know, they're saying, this doesn't make sense, Lord. I think there was somebody there that, oh, yes, Lord, let her be sleeping. Who do you think was that? Jairus. Jairus. Did he want her to be asleep? Did he, listen. Did he want to believe the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
How about us? Even when it looks to be impossible.
Amen.
Jesus says, believe me. But can our God do anything? Okay, let me hit home. This is where it matters to you and I. Can he change our lives?
Amen.
Then let's stop telling him he can't. Let's stop telling him this is the way we are. Are we too big for God? Isn't that what we're saying? Lord, you can't change me. I'm too big a problem for you. See, we don't look at it that way. Ready? Some professing believers, I will never change this. No, you're right. You won't. But God can. But God can. Here's the question. Do you want that deliverance? Do you want God to do that in your life? I'm going to take God at his word instead of my thinking. How about that? Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? All right. So watch this. So when he was come in verse 39, he says, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. What's the response? This is not one of faith. Verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. What does Jesus do with the unbelievers? They were there. Did Jesus already come into the house? He did come into the house. And he left them there, but look what he does with unbelief. But listen, and they laughed him to scorn, verse 40, but when he had what? How many of them? Oh, isn't that amazing? All of them. Is God a respecter of persons? Be careful with your unbelief. God doesn't put us out. Huh? Listen, God is still able, but I'm afraid there's a lot of believers in our day and age that God has put them out with their unbelief, and they're going to die like that. Now, I didn't say they weren't saved, but God does. Listen, is God pleased with unbelief? It'd be a good thing to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In fact, Lord, I believe, help thou, you, God, my unbelief. So watch this. Verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. You know what he's saying? I'm going to show you something that faith can only see. Unbelief is taken out. And God's not a respecter of persons. You want to know why there are so-called believers that are bitter and that are sour and negative and a weight and not an honor to God? Does that honor the Lord? If I come and I just badmouth and I'm just negative all the time, that's not the spirit of Christ. You know, eventually God just sets them off to the side. He says, there are vessels to honor. There are also vessels to dishonor. Verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand. Where's Jairus and his wife? They're watching this whole thing. And said unto her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. What are the mother and father thinking? Yes, Lord, please. Yes. Amen? What are the disciples doing? What is going on here? And straightway, as soon as he was done speaking that, the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Here's what they did. Oh, that's good, Jesus. All right, let's go. When's lunch? Oh, that was good, Jesus. What do I got to do today? Well, that was good. All right. I'll see you next Sunday. No, listen. And straightway, the damsel arose, verse 42, and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished, listen to this, with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Listen, he told them not to tell anybody about this. Do you think that this husband and wife and those disciples that were there with him ever wanted to see anything like that again? Do you think those disciples ever wanted to see anything like that again? Let me ask you this question. Did the disciples ever see anything like that again?
Yes.
Yes, with the Lord himself. He was dead and rose again. And listen, once you get a taste, we were talking about that this morning in Psalms. Once you get a taste of Jesus Christ, he has whetted our appetites for more that can't be quenched. But to those who stiff arm the Lord, oh my goodness. When is this going to be over? They don't worship. But those who are brought in close to the Lord to see his majesty and his greatness and his mercy and his grace, God says, come and let me fan the flames and show you great and mighty things which thou what? Oh, can't know it all, can we? We can't know it all. So here's the question, if that be true. Is God done with us? Here's another question. Do we want to see something from the Lord? Has God quit working? What is he waiting for? What is he waiting for? Isn't that amazing? He's waiting on us. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself, listen, strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm speaking for myself. Lord, I need you to do some heart work in me. Because I don't want to get tired of who you are and who you want to be in my life. Not who I think you should be. Not follow me, Lord, in what I want to do. But show me, God, you and your will and your purpose for creating me. And here's what I know. It's to glorify him. So I need you, God, or I'll go so far away from you. You think God will hear that kind of prayer? Would you stand? May God hear that from each and every one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your persistence in wanting to show us your way. Lord, may you give us a heart to call upon you to walk in your ways and the way that you've prepared and created for each and every one of us. Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they realize by your grace and your conviction that it begins there, not with our ideas. Bless your word, bless your people. Lord, may we call out to you, the Lord of the harvest, to send forth more laborers. May we call out to you for salvation, eternal life, and souls to be saved. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.